lift your hands and let's just thank Him for the cross. Thank You, my Lord, that we don't serve a God who is still nailed to the cross, but thank You, God, that we serve a risen Savior. I just thank You, God, for this intimate time of worship where Your presence is here. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. The cross of Christ. Obviously, you can see that's what we're focusing on tonight. I want you to just take a moment to look at the cross. It's simple. There's all types of crosses. Some people wear it as a fashion statement. Other people, it may have deeper religious meaning. There's the Celtic cross. There's the Tuareg cross. There's the Greek cross, the Latin cross, the Orthodox cross, the St. Andrew's cross. But I wonder, do we really know what the cross really means? How many of you know what the cross means? What it really represents? Raise your hand. What does it mean? Well, before we can really talk about that, I'm going to keep my message very simple, very centered around this. Bring me down just a little bit. Very much centered around the cross. I don't want to interrupt the flow of worship and the flow that I just sense here in this place. I really feel like there's just been an intimate time where the relationship with the Father's been mended and restored. But I want to go to the Word, and I want us to pull out some things, and I want us to look at the true meaning of the cross. You see, I think a lot of times the cross has become a fashion symbol that we wear, but we maybe don't really fully recognize the power that's in the cross, and the power that not so much is just in the cross, but in the one who was nailed to that cross. Because there's freedom, not just for me and you, but for nations, for governments. There is freedom in the man who was nailed to that cross. I want to look at first, before we can talk about the cross, we have to talk about the curse. The curse, what is the curse? Well, we all have a curse, unfortunately. I want you to go with me, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen. Colossians 2 and 13. It says, you were dead because your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. It's Colossians 2 and 13. You were what? What's it say? You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not cut away. We all probably are familiar with Romans 3:23. How many of you could stand up right now? Don't put it up there yet. Could stand up right now and quote Romans 3:23. You don't have to. Just ask me if you could. Okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Romans 3:23. Well, I looked it up in a different version. I looked it up in the Message. How many of you have the Message Bible now? I love the Message. So I looked it up in the Message, and this is what it says. We've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. NIV says we've all fallen short of the glory of God, for we are all sinners. All of us. That's the curse. Our record is the curse. We're faced every day with the reality of our shortcomings, our weaknesses, the things that we don't measure up. How many of you wake up and before you can even get out of bed sometimes, you're already slammed with what you can't do? You never can get enough done during the day. I know Pastor Clint, working and leading, youth ministry full time, golly. I'm sure before he hits the floor running, he's thinking about a million things. You're faced with insecurity. You're faced with fear. Can I get it all done? The unknown. What's going to happen next? We're faced with that. Guess what? That's the curse. That is a curse. That's the curse that started in the Garden of Eden, baby. We're faced every day with that. And I think that the problem for many people is that we've lived underneath the curse. And the curse is that bond. And I want you to remember, say the word bond. I want you to remember that, because we're going to talk about bond in a minute. It's that bond that hasn't been canceled. It's that constant reminder that your failure and shortcomings, and it causes you to live a defeated mentality. A lot of Christians live a defeated mentality. It will prevent you from living out the full potential that God has placed in you. And you know what? There are giftings and callings in each of us. There is a lockbox of potential in each one of us. And God has given us a measure of potential and destiny, and He's given us the key to unlock that box. But you know what? A lot of us living under the curse fail to ever tap into our full potential. You don't need a position. You don't need a title. You don't need money. All you need is a passion. That's all you need, is a passion to lock into the full potential you have. Now, I'm not just talking generally. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. There is potential inside of you to change the world, to be a history maker, so to speak. I mean, think about it. Think about the potential that one man, one decision. We talked a few weeks ago about on a Sunday morning about Billy Graham and the man that led Billy Graham to the Lord. Think about the power of the potential and the destiny in that moment that that man prayed that prayer. It was a simple, everyday, mundane task, getting up, doing the same as usual, led some kid to the Lord. Wow, that was really cool. 2 weeks later, you forget about it. But that moment changed eternity forever, changed thousands of people's lives for eternity. Forever. Wow. But you know what? We have that too. We have that too. And you know, I see a lot of us living under a curse. We live under a curse. And you know, I just think that many of us fade into eternity, really failing to tap into the potential that we have. The curse will take a potential history maker and it'll turn them into a comfortable Christian. It will take future leaders and turn them into defeated followers. My friends, this curse will ruin your life. It'll ruin the lives of those around you, and it will conquer your family, your future, your friendships, governments, and it will conquer nations. Humanity can't escape the power of this curse. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? It was first felt in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating of the forbidden fruit. That stupid cast-down serpent spread that dumb curse to all of humanity. And there's nothing we can do about it. The repercussions of that decision are still being felt today in our society. All of the world's intelligence, all the world's resource, can't stop it. You see, when it's left up to us, the curse is inevitable. Okay, let's go home. That's it. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. There's good news, though, and you know where I'm going, probably. But check this out. There's the curse, but then there's the cure. There's only one known cure in all of history, in all of creation, in all of humanity. There's only one known cure. One. It's not in a religion. It's not in a government. It's not definitely in communism. It's not in socialism. It's not in wealth or power. It is in a man named Jesus. Religion, good works, happiness, peace, joy, love in the Holy Ghost, capitalism, hard work, willpower of the mind, all these things are futile efforts to cancel that curse. And if you watched, maybe your own life, maybe friends in your life, maybe your family tried to hoard up all of these ancillary things in life to try to fill and break the curse. But guess what? They still go to bed and they're still cursed. They're still living under the bondage of the curse. I think we can relate to that. I know I can. I know there's times where I live under a curse of insecurity. You can't do that. Who are you? You have no formal training. No one's going to listen to you. No one's going to follow you if you do something weird like a weird service on a Sunday night with interactive worship and painting in the service. No one's going to do that. That's stupid. That's weird. No one's going to come to that. We can relate to that. Those of us here that are leaders and those of us here that are followers, we still are faced with the same curse, the same insecurity and fear. In the Kremlin of Moscow is the preserved body of the father of communism. His name is Vladimir Lenin. This is the quote that's at his side. He was the greatest leader of all people of all time. He was the Lord of a new humanity. He was the savior of the world. Wow, if I'd have known that, I guess we wouldn't have a cross up here. We'd have a picture of Lenin. But notice that that's still his dead body. You know? I mean, I'm thinking, what person in their right mind would go up to the casket, probably pay money to get in this little place where he's at? He's been dead since 1924. Okay. And read this quote and take it seriously. He's the savior of the world. Look at the words. Leader, Lord, and Savior. People are hungry. People are using the same words that we use to describe our Heavenly Father in man. They're hungry to escape the power of a curse. They're looking for a leader, a Savior, and a Lord to release them from the curse. Here's the cure. The cure is a man who was born in the first century. We've already said his name. Jesus. This man chose to die on that cross right there. For my sins and for your sins. For all of humanity's sins. Colossians 2 and 14. We read the first part of Colossians. If you have your Bibles open, follow along. Continue in the same place. If not, go to us with on the screen. Colossians 2 and 14. Now, the first part of that, you don't have to go to it, Melvin, but it said you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But here, it picks up in verse 14. It says, then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Now, listen. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. Now, catch that. He canceled the curse against you. That contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities, and it goes on. But you know, he canceled the record by nailing it to the cross. He nailed it to, now this is a little nail. We're going to use this here in a minute to nail some stuff to the cross. But he nailed it to the cross. And he canceled that bond. Did you know in ancient times, when someone would have a bond, I found this out in studying for this, and it just made me, I told Andre, I said, come here, you have got to hear this. This is so cool. When someone would have a bond, piece of paper that bound them to something, and they wanted to cancel that bond, there were two ways they could do it. They could strike through the words, or they could drive a nail through it. Now, I want you to read this scripture again. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. Now, listen. He took it and destroyed it by what? Nailing it to Christ's cross. Go with me to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse, and that same time dissolved the curse. Man, he took the bond that was against you and drove a nail through it. And he canceled whatever fear, whatever sin, whatever bondage you've been under, whatever it is, he took it and he canceled it. How come we don't live that way? Because just like anything in God's kingdom and the way God created the world, he created us with choice, with free will. That can be a good thing and that can be a bad thing. I'm glad I'm not a robot. I'm glad I can make my own choice. I'm glad I can choose to worship God. But many of us choose the curse rather than the cure. We choose to live under bondage We choose to let our thoughts go to the bondage instead of the cure. And we choose to let pain and hurt be resurrected in our lives and dwell and mull and meditate on those things. And that's why Paul says in the New Testament, you have got to get your thinking in line, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You've got to transform your thinking. You've got to transform your mind. You've got to think on the good things, the things that are lovely and pure and holy. Bless you. You've got to think on those things. Because if you don't, let me tell you something. The power of your thoughts is amazing. It can make the difference of the curse or the cure in your life. He became our cure by nailing himself to the cross and becoming, everybody say, my curse. My curse. I'm the one who deserved to be cursed and nailed to the tree, but he took it. Now, what I'd like for you to do, Andre is going to pass out. Do you have some of those pieces of paper? At your table here in a second, you're going to get some paper. I'd like for you to take that sheet of paper, find a writing utensil, and I want you to begin to think about the record, the curse, the things in your life that the enemy comes. None of us is void. If you have a blank sheet, wow. We all have a record because the enemy, let me tell you something, the enemy targets you. It's because of that potential inside of you. It's because of the destiny that's locked up inside of you. The enemy wants to kill it in its infancy. He wants to kill it in its beginning stages. He'll kill the dream before it even gets off the ground. There are dreams that you guys have, I know, because I know you. And there are dreams that you have that no one even knows about, because the enemy's killed them. He's aborted them, so to speak, before they could even take form and take root. But you know what? I believe that tonight, through worship and through the cross and through the power of that canceled bond, I believe there's going to be dreams and potential released in this place and in your life and in your family. We may not have a hoop and holler and altar call like we did this morning, let me tell you, but you know what? You'll walk out of here free. Simple as that. You'll walk out of here under that bondage, out from under that bondage. I want you to take a moment, write down about three or four things that in your mind is the bondage. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's fear of raising your kids wrong. God, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe it's fear of the unknown. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's pride. Maybe your wife and you start to argue and you get really mad and, you know, you have fits of anger. I mean, I don't know, whatever that curse is, whatever that thing that the enemy keeps bringing back, I want you to write it down. This is for no one else to see, just for you. Write that down. Don't you love how the enemy will bring the voices in your head? He'll say stuff like, remember, you have a past. Don't forget about that. Are you sure you can do this? Remember what happened last time when you did. Ah, go ahead, you're not perfect. God will forgive you. Or will he, since you've sinned so many times? I don't know, will he? Will he forgive you? You can't possibly live like those Christians over there. So just stop trying to. Write those insecurities. Write that record down. Let's get it on paper. as you finish that, and I realize some of you may not be done, and you may want to continue this, and that's fine. That's not rushing anybody. But as you finish that, I want you to turn it on the back, on the other side, the blank side. And I want you to write this short prayer. This canceled bond of a short prayer. Here we go. Jesus, thank you for becoming the curse and the cure. Thank you for the cross. Jesus, thank you for becoming the curse and the cure. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the nails. Thank you for the canceled record of sin against us, Lord. Tonight, as we remember this beautiful symbol and the incredible sacrifice of Christ, we're going to join together as a community of believers. We're going to take communion. Melvin and Angela have given their very old communion set. How old is this, Melvin? It's old, isn't it? He didn't even know how old it is. It may be 100 years old. I don't know. With real glass. How many of you ever drinking communion out of a real glass, shot glass? Some powerful stuff in this, man. It's just help. But you can, I just love the smell of it. It's the smell of that old wood. It reminds me of my grandmother's house, you know. That old cedar wood, I guess. I don't know. But we're going to take communion together. And then in a really cool way, and I know some of you may have already done this in services past, just felt like it was appropriate. I thought it would be really cool. Especially after learning that when you cancel a bond, you drive a nail through it. We're going to nail. I want you to fold that thing up, that prayer and that record of things that the enemy keeps hounding you with. I want you to fold it up, and we're going to drive a nail through that sucker. We're going to nail it to the cross. Good old-fashioned nailing it to the cross service with the twist. With that in your right hand, I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to hold the juice, and Andre is going to come and hold the bread or the goldfish. And we want you to come and partake of communion, and then we'll do the nailing on the cross, okay? Come forward. Served. I'll never forget going to a Lutheran church one Sunday morning with Andrea. It was a required field trip for one of my classes at HBU. And it was weird how the sanctuary was shaped, and up and down is worse than the Catholic Church. We were up and get to the time where we take communion. We didn't know what we were doing. And so we get up there, and the priest comes by and gives us the glass cup, and I thought I smelled something, you know, a little strong. I grew up in the bar, so I was like, whoa, that's pretty strong stuff. And we took that communion, and let me tell you something, it lit our world. They were a little bigger, too. I guess they really wanted to get enough of God. I don't know. They were kind of big. But we dropped it back. We're like, whoa, yeah. Like this Lutheran church, man. Yeah. Was that totally sacrilegious or fun? 1 Corinthians 11:23 in the Message says this: the Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. I want you to do this in remembrance of me." So after they ate, he did the same thing with the cup. He said, "This is my blood, my new covenant, my cure, my antidote with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." And he goes on, Paul goes on to say this, and he instructs the church, and he instructs you and I about how to take communion. And this is a reverent time. He says, "What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt." Wow. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Verse 28 says, "Examine your motives, test your heart." Let's do that right now. Let's test our hearts. Examine our motives. Let's come to this meal in a holy awe, in a reverence time of self-examination. God, let us come to this moment in our service pure before you. Thank you for your body. Would you take the bread? Would you hold it up? And would you thank the Lord in your own words? We are all priests and we are all ministers. And there doesn't need to be a priest or minister that prays over the bread. You pray over your own bread. Thank you for the bread. Lord, let's eat together of his body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Lord, that this blood represents a new covenant. Thank you, Lord, this blood represents life for us. Would you hold the cup up and would you pray the blood of Jesus over your life? Would you plead the blood of Jesus over your family? Would you plead the blood of Jesus over this church? Over your life? Over your children? Over your future children? Jesus, we plead the blood. The blood that was spilled for us. Thank you, God. Jesus, we weren't worthy of this great sacrifice, but God, we receive it. We receive it, oh God. Let's drink together of the cup. Renee, would you lead us in this powerful song once again? Here we go.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wondered at your gift of
a nail up here at the front. Just as Jesus was nailed to this cross and canceled our bond, we have to get on this cross daily, because the bond and the sin and the record never goes away. We got to jump on this cross every day and nail ourselves to it. That's not fun, but it's a commandment. We're ending the service this way. Not a usual way of ending a service, but we're going to end it this way. He's going to continue to play the song for maybe another 2 or 3 minutes. One by one, you're going to come up here and you're going to drive a nail all the way through, all the way in, through that bond and through that curse. And walk out of here free from whatever bondage you came in here with. Praising the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Let's sing it together.
Thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
It's sort of open if you need anything else before you go. Thanks for coming. We love you. See you next month.